Steve, where are we heading to today?
Lucy, it's a new one today. We are headed to two different locations for this episode. The first is Atlanta, Georgia in the USA, and the second, a bunker in the Nexus universe, which honestly, I've been to Atlanta and it feels like a bunker in the Nexus universe. So I think the two shouldn't be that different. Have you ever been to either one of those, Lucy?
I've not been to Atlanta, but I have actually stepped inside the Nexus universe before. Not virtually. I gawped at it from my computer screen, but I have, in fact, been on a personal tour with the individual or non-human that lives inside it. You know, it was my first time being shown around something like this. It's a little bit weird, but I really did feel like I was stepping into something big, really stepping into the future. And I'm being cryptic on purpose because we haven't yet introduced our guests.
I know that you're actually a close personal friend of one of our guests. And so I think that makes this day a little more exciting than normal.
So all of this will make sense in a moment. So please unfasten your seatbelts and welcome to the Future Forward podcast, co-founder of Offbeat, Christopher Travers, and virtual influencer and pal Zero from Nexus. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Welcome. Hey, guys. Thanks for having us.
That's much fun would be to start with Zero. I'm actually going to start with Christopher. And I want to ask you, I think for a lot of our listeners, the idea of a virtual influencer is new to them. So why don't you talk a little bit about the virtual influence industry in general on virtualhumans.org, a digital resource that you've built, and you have more than 250 total virtual influencer avatars.
Yeah, absolutely. Virtualhumans.org is a resource dedicated to documenting this industry of this virtual influencer trend. And what a virtual influencer is effectively you take a character, which is not anything new necessarily, right? You know, characters have been around in many mediums for many years, actually over 100 years. But what's different is you take this character and you post it onto social media with a first-person personality. And so the nature of posting it with a first-person personality again and again and again, or embodying a character as we see here with Zero, is the act of creating a character that is an influencer. And so the important part there is that the character has its own life. You know, you don't ever break the fourth wall. You don't ever break the mold of saying I'm, right? So when there's total embodiment of a character, that's when it becomes a virtual influencer.
Zero, you know, more like an avatar or powered by artificial intelligence that actually is Zero in the metaverse by himself?
Well, this is a great question. I would say Zero is artificial and he is intelligent, but he's not artificial intelligence. So he is a creation that is an avatar and he has all the human intelligence that you need behind it to make it a great experience, you could say. He is virtual. He is very smart. But the way that we've gone about creating Zero is using some of the latest and greatest video game technology. And so that's actually a key thing to understand is that a lot of these virtual influencers, you're like, where do they come from? How are they built? Well, think about what video game characters are, right? They're 3D, they move around, they have arms, they talk. But now what if you took the simplest version of Hollywood motion capture and you applied it to a video game character? Well, that's really the secret ingredient there that really makes it all work.
I've not long got back from Vegas, you know, from the big consumer electronics show, and I saw so much technology, so much hardware being brought out to really bolster this virtual influencer space, this VTuber space. And quite a lot of it relies quite heavily on the evolution of this technology from full capture motion bodysuits to VR goggles. I know you don't necessarily need to use goggles in order to interact with these virtual influencers, but the technology that's really being pumped into this space really is quite impressive, isn't it?
As far as, you know, the technology that's been really unfolding, like I said, the video game industry underpins this whole space. And so, of course, video games have their own priorities and incentives to get better, right? They're all striving for reality and they're striving for vast worlds and high quality. And so along the way, these accessory experiencers are able to develop that consumers and prosumers are able to engage with. And that's where, you know, we come in.
Yeah. And Chris, what makes a good virtual influence? You know, is it content? Is it number of followers? Is it the technology and innovation underneath it? Or is it a combination of all three?
You know, ironically, it's the human touch at the end of the day. I've seen so many virtual influencers. I've studied almost all of them. I've seen so many VTubers. And at the end of the day, even though there's a virtual experience, there's a you know, avatar experience or whatever it may be, a cartoon, you see through that after you become a fan for enough time, and what you're actually connecting with is the human behind the whole show, right? And so as long as the human is genuine, interesting, you know, wants to connect with you and shows up frequently enough. So I'm talking about consistency of appearances and just gives you a quality experience. And really, it's called the parasocial relationship, where many fans feel like they're developing a relationship, usually a friendship, of course, with these characters, and they all feel connected. And at the end of the day, it's the human touch that makes the difference.
Yeah, honestly, I find this all so fascinating, mind-blowing even. You know, I'm hearing more and more about virtual influencers these days. They're models, they're musicians, they're pop stars, they're online personalities. So what I want to know is why people follow virtual influencers. What is the secret sauce? Because it really is quite the phenomenon.
Christopher put it in a way that really resonates with me. And for me, my mission at the end of the day, no matter what I'm posting, who I'm talking to, is to like leave that person who saw me, their life better than it was before they met me. And there's a lot of ways you can do that. You can provide them a platform to give their opinions. So a lot of my content was about, hey, this thing in Minecraft is really funny, but I want to know what you think. Like, what does that have to do with your life? Because even though we're talking about gaming and comedy and content, it's really a place that people go when like life is hard and like these people just need a friend to hang out with, you know, because we have people like Christopher who have like these amazing ideas, and then they find people like me who are like, hey, you're really good at talking to people and I can teach you like how to connect even further. That's when the real like secret sauce happens, and that's why I think people follow me, is because there's so many great minds and stories at work, and it's just like amazing what can happen.
So Zero, you have several hundred thousand followers. What sort of things are you talking about? What are you doing? How are you engaging with your followers?
Well, thank you for the flex. And what do I talk about? That's actually a trick question, because it has changed, and anybody who makes content will know this. What I talk about will always change, because it's about what's going on. Like right now, there's a lot of changes happening in your world, like you know, a lot of negative things and like downsides. I don't want to talk about that. So when I see people are like in a bad space, my content is going to shift. And my question I ask myself is like, again, how do I leave their world better than I found it? And usually that's through laughter. I'm always on Twitter and always talking to my fans and people who aren't even my fans. And I'm really in tune with like what people want to talk about. I don't think it is about me. It's about, you know, the general public, what they want to talk about.
Ultimately, it's about shifting the conversation depending on who you're talking about. And I think that's what makes people believe in you even more, with this live interaction that people are having with you. It makes them believe in you more as a character.
Yeah, because if I just started putting out videos about what I thought you wanted to watch, or like my 13-year-old fan, like whoever's watching, I could guess, but I don't know if they're watching because they're sad or they're watching because they're trying to become a professional gamer. But I do know in the moment, if people are talking about a certain topic, I have a platform for their voices, so I can provide the opportunity for them to speak their minds through me.
What's your favorite video game to play?
My top games that I play that really connects me the most to my audience is like Minecraft. Christopher was like a huge push for Minecraft when we were first starting to talk about like content. And even on Snapchat, we talked about Minecraft. And the reason why is because Minecraft is like we talked about it, and it's a stage, right? Like it's like if you're doing a high school play or a musical, Minecraft is like the stage, and it has all the building blocks that you need to tell any story you want. So I really liked Minecraft because it allowed my fans to come and talk with me and build with me. And when you're building and not focused on like numbers or analytics or impressing anybody, that's when their real stories come out. It's like when you're building and you're like, yeah, today, you know, my dad said something that made me really proud. Like that won't come out if I just post a video like, haha, I'm funny. But that'll come out if I'm talking with you building in Minecraft for a few hours.
No, I like that because like I have a 16-year-old daughter, and the amount of hours she spent in Minecraft to me were amazing. But kids have been playing this, especially, and building worlds and really doing it jointly and doing it together. So it's an easy way for someone like you who can to fit in there and to jump into a world like that, as opposed to a car racing game or a combat game.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a different platform. Like you said, it's a different place, a different environment. They're going there. Like you said, your 16-year-old daughter is probably spending like almost a full work week on that game. And most parents will be like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? But what people haven't realized, like they're starting to come around to it, is like parents who nurture that and like really ask them like, hey, like, can I sit with you and watch you build? Like, I want to understand why you're spending so many hours. And if your daughter and you spent like 2 hours with me in Minecraft, your entire perspective on like the usage of her time would actually probably flip positive, because you'd say, hey, she's spending time with like people who are very positive. She's finding things that she's intrigued by and might open up future career paths for her that don't even exist today. Like, I never thought I'd make like a job out of streaming on YouTube, but like, here we are.
To me, you have the perfect job. You sit in the cool bunker and you play video games and you talk to your fans. It's not like you've gone down to the post office to deliver the mail, Zero. It sounds like you're living your best life.
It is my dream. It is like honestly my dream. Christopher and I talk about it a lot. This is my dream. I love content. I love what I do. But I never ever go out and say like, yo, this is the best thing. Quit everything that you're doing and just do this. It's a dream. Christopher and I have like had obstacles, right? Like when I'm on a podcast like this, I'm upbeat and happy because I'm super excited. But a lot of people are missing the 90% of the behind the scenes, like me and Christopher, you know, saying like, how can we get, you know, a million people to watch 15 seconds. Like, these are conversations that are very, very hard. And like Christopher saying, yo, Zero, that video you made, like, that wasn't the best. Like, how can we make it better? It's not an easy job. I would say it's actually a lot more hours and a lot more, like, you really have to breathe it.
Lucy told me you had a date the other day from your bunker. So you do get some, you know, some other activities in.
yeah, of course.
So how many hours a day are you actually online working? Do you have a private life?
I look at content creation. That is a full-time job. That is like your 40 to 60 hours a week. That is my career. So I make content 40 to 50 hours a week. But I do have a personal life. Like Christopher and I, we talk during the day, during work hours. And then like after a certain point, like we might message each other and say like, oh, I have a video idea. But we do cut off. Christopher does really cool stuff outside of making stuff and helping me. And I read books.
It's really interesting to hear the amount of work that does go into this that is behind you, Zero, because you honestly make it look just effortless, so simple. And it's just interesting here from both you and Chris, the amount of hours, time, energy, and effort that really goes into producing something like this in order to get that content out there. So we've, you know, Chris, we've touched on the technology at the top of the podcast. You know, it's very human-centric powered, obviously lots of hardware helping you really bolster this kind of virtual influencer scene. But are all virtual influencers powered the same, or are there different types of technology that can be employed to control these characters, or is it kind of much of the same across the board?
You know, I like to compare the virtual influencer industry actually to the podcast industry because it's easy to understand it this way. There are probably like, 20 different potentially great softwares you can use to make a good podcast. You know, we're using one right now. We probably could have used five others, right? Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you're going to get something similar. You know, you're going to get a audio track that you blend together, maybe talk about different subjects. So what I'm ultimately getting to is that virtual influencers are a new medium. They're a type of content that you can create with all sorts of different tools. However, the tools that are available to us are so dynamic, like creative tools for characters are just so broad in their style options, their difficulty to create with options, right? And also the freedoms that they allow you. So with that said, while we're still creating ultimately the same thing, which is a character with a story, they come in all sorts of different sizes, shapes. They can be three-dimensional and live. They can be literally a cartoon drawn into photos. So it really comes back to the artists behind the experience and the developers behind the experience, right? So if I were to go pick three random artists in the world and create a virtual influencer, and then I would go to pick another three random artists from a different part of the world and create a virtual influencer with them, ultimately the style will look inherently different and the story that we tell will look inherently different. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we're still telling a story with characters on social media. So social media is like the common ground, right? It's where the characters meet up. It's the town hall. So that said, characters are finding a neutrality in the virtual influencer medium. And that's actually why I think it's a very human creation, because this relates to humanity as well, is that humans are all shapes and sizes, but we come together in common places. So virtual influences are all the same.
Yeah. So I just want to like do a bit of future gazing just for a moment. You know, we're talking about it being very human centric, relying on the human experience behind the virtual influencer. But when do you think virtual influencers like Xero will rely less on humans and more on artificial intelligence?
Yeah, you have to speak very practically about what all the steps are involved in creating a virtual influencer. And for an artificial intelligence to actually self-operate and self-publish, it doesn't just create the voice and, you know, the what it says. Like, those fronts are getting tackled right now, as we all know. Like, all these AI art tools and ChatGPT, et cetera, all these, like, fronts. But then you're going to have to automate the distribution, the timing, the memory is the key word there. Is an artificial intelligence has to have great memory of what was said and in the context of who they said it to. And so all of these different important parts, even like cropping your video 16:9 for a story and posting it on the story using the Instagram API, like all of that would have to be automated by an AI for this to truly work. Mm-hmm. So what I would get to though is there are certain experiences right now. One I will call out is called Replica, which basically you're typing to a chatbot that also happens to be a 3D character that types back to you. And so this is a very popular AI app. It's been out for years now. And so there's a lot of people engaging with AI, but it's not talking like Xero. It doesn't feel human like Xero because they're using the neutral medium of chat to achieve that, which is, you know, to me, I think we've surpassed the Turing test, you could say, of chat. Like you could talk to a bot and not know you're talking to a bot, and that's what Replica offers. But you could not talk to the Xero version of a bot and believe you're talking to a human. Like it's just not there yet. It's going to fall apart on many fronts before we finally achieve that, you know, true full 3D AI character.
Yeah.
And I don't know that even then if I would engage with that character for, at the end of the day, it's like, do I care what they're saying? Do I care what they're doing? Or am I following it because of the novelty of it being AI? And that right there is a genre. It's not a movement. It's just a genre of AI generated content.
Yeah. So I think it's interesting that you bring up Replica, because one of the things I was going to say, one of the dangers of kind of relying solely on AI is there are ethical standpoints to think about. And I think a lot of people have been complaining about Replica and some of the conversations, the way the conversation's gone, and it's been quite unpleasant in some situations, and people have ended up taking that app off their phone because the AI behind this platform isn't necessarily giving the positive conversations that they were hoping for. So there's that issue. And I think until we iron out the kind of ethical standpoint of AI, it will probably be a while before AI takes over a virtual influencer.
You know, what I would say to this is that nobody is perfect, and we live in a state of constant improvement and growing. You know, humans do. And so I would say give AI the chance to do the same, and the creators behind it to do the same, to turn their toddler AI into a teenager AI, into an adult AI as it grows and matures and understands the world and corrects errors along the way. I think that's just a natural progression.
Yeah, that's a really nice way to put it.
Well, I've been struck in this by both how almost human Xero is. If my daughter was in a chat room with you or playing Minecraft with you, I'd feel completely comfortable. You too, Lucy and Christopher, but mostly Xero. But like, not every person on TikTok is so positive, or someone I'd say, hey, you should really follow them. Are there also virtual influencers that you'd say the whole industry is not following the example of Xero?
If you ask this question to 10 people, you're going to get 10 totally different answers. And my answer is, I never compare myself. I never look at like another virtual and say like, oh, I'm doing X better. And that is the human, like that is like human nature, right? Like humans are always going to do two things. One, they're going to compare themselves. And two, they're always going to do whatever is the easiest option. Christopher like mentioned it in his response. As AI is learning, so are virtual influencers. Right. So like we've talked a lot about ethics, me and Christopher and team, Lucy, you've brought it up. Like there are no rules. Right. So like tomorrow somebody can make an avatar that's like really, really negative and pushes really bad agenda. Right. Like there's no rule saying you can't do that. as long as you don't incite violence. My take on it is I will always look at what somebody's doing and try to extrapolate, because everybody views themselves as the hero. And the virtual influencers are doing maybe negative content still think they're doing the right thing. So I think that, like Christopher said, giving them time to evolve and find their thing, because right now everybody's kind of like clout chasing, which just means like trying to get millions of views easily. And something that we learned really early on was like, if you focus on being authentic to you and your mission and your purpose, like you don't have to worry about what they're doing. I would rather focus on like the ones who are doing amazing things. Like you look at Teflon Sega, like he's a VI doing his own NFT music. That's awesome. There's, you know, Xanadu Blue doing high cinematics, right? Like those take a lot of time, man, like a lot. And like people can learn. I learn from them all the time about how to set my scenes and like look really cool. So I'd rather take away the positives and not focus, because I just stick to my mission and let everybody do their own thing.
This podcast is being brought to you by Masdar City, promoting sustainable development and renewable energy. You know, you're really primarily interacting with young people. What can you do to promote sustainability?
I find the people with those voices, right? And I let them do the talking because I'm not the expert. What I like to use my platform is providing people a soapbox to stand on. So my audience is like, hey, like, you know, I turn my water off all the, like when I'm not brushing my teeth, right? Like they're doing things. And when we're streaming, we're talking about this stuff. Like when we're playing Minecraft and somebody's like, oh man, I gotta go turn off the iron. Like these conversations are happening in the younger generation. And my job is just to like, let it happen, right? My job is just to provide a platform, and Christopher can dig in deeper to sustainability on his end, because he's got some really great insights as well.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing that I find very fascinating about the technology at play is how low lift it is. And so the experience that you're seeing here with Zero is not low lift in regards to the complexity, but the end of the spectrum that is actually available to most people is this VTuber world, which is off your laptop. You can literally power this like VTuber, very lightweight anime flat, but still able to show yourself through your webcam. So you can actually be a VTuber through your existing hardware is what I would say. So in order to get into this new space, you don't need to purchase new hardware if you already own a laptop. So right off the bat, this space is allowing people to get in without having to make additional purchases beyond their existing technology stack. And that also is true with cell phones. You can also power yourself from a cell phone. So that said, people who want to get into this space in the future, it's a very low lift on the hardware front. So you're not doing any expenditure or needing to buy anything new. And one that said, as this grows in popularity and millions of people want to become these avatars, it's also promoting connectivity. Being able to create a living online means you can create a living from anywhere, which starts to eliminate the need for commute. It's like work from anywhere, work from home, right? So breaking down the walls of the need for commute as a requirement to find a living. That's what the internet has done, is it's giving us the opportunity to discover a financial opportunity online. And as characters grow in popularity, there will be more financial opportunities for people who then do not have to go spend on gas or waste their time, right? And then Zero touched on a really great point. That's just from the practicality front of it. But from the message potential front, this being a neutral medium and an innovative one means that anyone who wants to drive their message forward can come in and use characters to find an edge and to go and find a new fandom or a new fan base and reach younger generations specifically. And so as their other media experiences start to emerge, like if social media starts to look more like a video game and anime, which is exactly what virtual influencers represent, then you're gonna be able to take your message through a virtual influencer and reach this growing audience. Today's teens are going to be tomorrow's college students and adults. Like you have to realize in 10, just a short 10 years, all of the teens of today are driving, making key decisions maybe at companies in 10 years, right? So you have to think about what that means. You know, the teen who spent all their time watching anime, playing Fortnite, in 10 years might be making decisions for a key brand. What does that mean? And so that said, when you're thinking about your brand's future and your mission to drive sustainability forward, right? if it looks anime, if it looks like video game, and if it looks like a virtual influencer, you have a greater chance of driving that message forward over the next 10 years.
So Chris, you are the co-founder and CCO of Offbeat Media Group, and you also founded and built virtualhumans.org, two fantastic companies. But I want to hear from you. Tell us a little bit about your journey and how you got here.
When I first launched my first real company, it was centered on this idea of pseudonymity online, where you basically could go and you could compliment people on your campus under a pseudonym or under an anonymous toggle and be more true to yourself. And we grew this to hundreds of thousands of users. And then we went on to do it again and grew it to 100,000 users again in a different medium using photos. And so this idea that you could be a pseudonym or anonymous and be more true to yourself was a breakthrough for me. And so this came about 10 years ago, and I've carried that forward through my career all the way up until now, working on Offbeat Media Group and virtualhumans.org, which is, I think, the ultimate proliferation of pseudonymity is embodying an avatar online. And that is what a virtual influencer is. That is what an avatar is. And so I really believe that everyone who had pseudonyms in the past, it will be reflected now as everyone having avatars with a pseudonym in the future.
So Behind Zero is a human being. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about that person? Are they a 73-year-old woman? Is it a 28-year-old man? Where is Zero's human located in the metaverse or in Atlanta? And is it a one-to-one for each of your characters, or can one human run five virtual influencers?
You're asking a lot of hard questions, but
no,
what
you know
I would
the
say
answers.
Is,
these aren't that difficult. You know these answers.
I know all these answers, but I have to say them tactfully, of course. But what I would say that this person behind Zero is one of the hardest working producers that I know as far as content creation. They come from a long history in content creation, and it's reflected in everything that they do. They know how to grind. They're self-starting. They come up with really great ideas, and it is a key ingredient, as you say, to making this a human experience. And like I said, as I was throwing shade at AI earlier, perhaps in the regard that an AI can't crop its own video and post logically and edit its own content, the person behind Zero knows exactly how to do all of that and do it very well and do it very quickly. And so without the human, that technology is just gathering dust. And so that said, it's been just really great experience working with this individual. And our Nexus universe, you could say.
So, Christopher, you're based in Atlanta, Georgia, as we've established, which I know has resources like the Atlanta Tech Village, the Georgia Institute of Technology, and really huge major US companies have moved headquarters there, you know, from Google to Airbnb to Microsoft. So I see that Atlanta is aiming to become a top five tech startup city in the US. There's also a huge media and film presence in the city, with many of today's major motion pictures being filmed in Atlanta. You know, I'm talking about Marvel movies, for example. So how should the world be thinking about the future of Atlanta, and why was it the right city for Offbeat to be founded? Other than that, you just live there.
You know, you ask the right person, because I was born and raised in Atlanta, right in the city. And so I've spent, of course, 30 years of my life in and around Atlanta. And I also was blessed to work at the Atlanta Tech Village under the founder of Atlanta Tech Village, who is actually a bigger visionary than I about the future of Atlanta's tech scene. And I also have mentors who are deep in the like tech stars and other areas of the city. The city is almost like it's exploding lately, and the platform is there in the city. You know, when you think about what a platform is, it's something that enables something else to occur. And so this platform of a city, it really has everything that you need, and it still is a very affordable place to live with a rich community all across the board. And I just find it to be the perfect melting pot, and especially connecting point for the world with the airport here as well. Like, you know, the Atlanta airport, I think, was rated the busiest airport last year. And everything about Atlanta signals up and to the right, right? It's growing. People seem very happy from my perception of the city. It's the city in the trees is something I would describe, is that like literally, like if you get up into a tall building in Atlanta and you look around, the canopy just comes right into the city. And it's just really beautiful in that regard. So everything about Atlanta just feels right and at home and peaceful. And maybe I'm saying that because I'm from the city and I grew up there, but I think that many people will find a home both in nature and in technology in Atlanta.
So with such a growing burgeoning tech scene, do you think we're going to be thinking of Atlanta in the same way that we think of Silicon Valley? Do you think that's going to happen anytime soon?
I don't think there'll ever be another Silicon Valley because it was an anomaly that reflected a moment of time. And so that said, it is becoming a rich tech scene and a rich tech option. Those from Silicon Valley, I've met plenty of people who did their time at Google and, you know, worked at all of, you know, at Twitter and everything and, you know, all these different tech companies that are true to Silicon Valley. I'm coming to find that Atlanta is its own type of tech scene, one that is very communal and one that is all about meeting people and collaboration and also like finding your pocket of innovation like we have with Xero, right? Like nobody else in the city is doing this. You know, but we are inspired by the giants that have come before us. Like Turner is in Atlanta. Cartoon Network, of course, is in Atlanta. And there's these massive success stories in the city. There are multiple unicorns coming out of Atlanta that it continues to inspire and also enable the success of future entrepreneurs. So maybe someday we will grow to the size of Silicon Valley. But what I actually more I imagine Atlanta becoming is a techie Los Angeles. This is where I see Atlanta in 30 years, is more sprawling, more dense techie media hub.
Okay, so watch this space, basically.
Atlanta's great. I'm trying to get out of here and get to Atlanta, but I you know, hopefully sooner rather than later, so we keep Christopher upbeat and we keep him here. So he keeps building like really cool stuff. Like seriously, it seems like a great place. I've seen it on video. Like I've been to the Beltline myself on a TV, and it's a beautiful city. You know, everybody's got a side hustle, and it's great. I'm excited to see what happens.
Well, that I think with that we're wrapping it up. I want to thank you both so much for being on this episode of Future Forward, a podcast brought to you by Masdar City, a hub of sustainability, R&D, innovation in Abu Dhabi. I would invite you, Xero, after you get to Atlanta, that Masdar City in Abu Dhabi might be an excellent next stop for you on your world tour. Christopher, we'd actually like to, we'd love to welcome you as well, too. It might Thank be you. Easier for you to get an airplane out of that airport to our airport. We would love to welcome you to that, to come visit us. And to bring some of what you're doing over here as well. But thank you both. I think it was, for me, it was fascinating. This was one of the most interesting. I was a little bit skeptic going into this, but I'm like, what do you crazy people have me doing? I know Lucy knows all this stuff already, but for me, it was a fascinating learning experience and one of the most interesting conversations that I've had. So thank you, Christopher and Xero.
Yeah, I feel like we could continue this conversation for hours and hours and carry on talking to you for hours, Xero. I'd love a tour of your bunker, but unfortunately, we don't really have the time.
If you really enjoyed this and you missed a bunker tour, I actually on my YouTube channel, Xero from Nexus, have a bunker tour. You can come back and watch anytime. But for my future, I'm trying to get on LinkedIn more, actually. I have a LinkedIn profile. I'm going business mode. I've learned how to grow a following, so I want to get on LinkedIn and start talking to some more people. So LinkedIn, Xero from Nexus, you should find me. I think I have like 8 followers. Christopher might be 3 of them. I haven't figured out yet how many pseudonyms he has. But thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. And remember, you can hear all of our episodes in the same place that you got this podcast.